Take your Bibles and turn over to Romans chapter 6. Sound guys thought it'd be a perfect time with Pastor being gone to break out a new lapel mic and use me for guinea pigs. So if it's coming through strong, coming through weak, just give them time. They'll mess around with it and hopefully get it working good. So Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Romans chapter 6, verse number 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Look down at verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for another opportunity to come into your, to the church, Lord, and hear your word. And I pray that you be with the message tonight. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Help me to say only what you would have me to say. And Lord, be with our hearts, Lord. Help us to be tender to your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so premise here is the old man is crucified with Christ. You should have, once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a new creature, as it says there in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And so you have an old man and you have a new man living inside of you, and they're going to be at war with each other, and we'll see that a little bit later here in the message. So you're going to be having the old man fighting against the new man, basically seeing who is going to be able to control your life, who is going to be the one that you give control to. But the Bible says here in the few verses that we read that the old man should be dead. The old man is crucified that the body of sin might be destroyed. We're supposed to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Yet so often we take the old man off the cross and we give him a new life. Let him take back control over our lives. We basically breathe new life. It's like we resurrect this old man who is supposed to be dead. Remember, the old man was crucified when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The only way that he is going to be able to take back control of your life is if you let him take control of your life. You have God himself living inside of you. The flesh can have no power but what power you give it. Once you have Jesus Christ living inside of you and reigning in your life. So the question I want to ask is, how can we tell whether the old man is alive and well in our life or whether he's dead? How can you tell if the old man is in control or if the new man is in control? Let's turn over to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes tells us some characteristics of someone who is dead. Tells us what happens when somebody dies. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, starting to verse number 4. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 4. It says, For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die. But the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Ecclesiastes describes someone who is dead. They don't know anything. The dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward. This reward is basically like a prize or an award for your earning or for your winnings, something you work toward. It's a wage. And of course, we know that sin, the wages of sin is death. And if you have if you've died to sin, died to self, you don't have that reward of sin, which is death. You no longer have that. But a dead man has no more a reward. The memory of them is forgotten. But I really want to focus on verse number 6. It says, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. So how can we tell if the old man is alive in our life? Let's look at what we love, look at what we hate, and then are we full of envy? That's the three ways we can determine if the old man is alive and well in our life. So, getting right into it, what does the old man love? What does the old man love? What does this flesh love? And if we can figure out if we are loving the same thing that the old man loves, that the flesh loves, we're letting the old man live inside of us. The flesh is ruling our life, which it ought not to. So what does this flesh love? And again, this could cover a myriad of things. We're just going to focus on three root sins, I believe, that bear fruit in many different areas in our life. But three root things. So we're going to look at first, the flesh loves pleasure. The flesh loves pleasure. Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 21, verse number 17. Pleasure. And pleasure takes many, many forms in our lives and in the world that we live today. Proverbs 21, 17, it says, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." And again, pleasure, people seek after pleasure in many forms. Wine here is mentioned in this verse, and we know many people seek after pleasure, going after the alcohol and going after something that they think can bring them a little relief from their life, and they're seeking after that pleasure. Some people seek after the pleasure that they find in drugs. Some people seek after the pleasure that they find in gluttony. Now, this is not something that is touched on very much in Christian circles, and I probably shouldn't touch on it right after we had a chili cook-off, but gluttony is a sin. When you indulge your flesh so much past what is necessary, then you're feeding the flesh, and that has a direct impact on your Christian life. To feed your flesh, overindulge it, you're losing some of your self-discipline, and self-discipline, of course, is very key in the Christian life. But the flesh loves pleasure. And the devil knows that once he can get us to start loving pleasure and seeking after pleasure, man, he has us right in the palm of his hand. He can do whatever he wants with us if we are focused on our pleasure. Because once we start focusing on our pleasure and loving pleasure, we're no longer focused on pleasing God. We're only focused on pleasing ourselves. So examine your life today. Do you love pleasure? Are you seeking after pleasure for your life, whether it be sports? Whether it be hunting or fishing or outdoor activities, is that something that your flesh has dominion over you in this area of loving pleasure? God has given us many things to enjoy, and I really enjoy sports. I enjoy playing the different sports, whether it be football or basketball, baseball, whatever. I enjoy playing that, but that shouldn't be a love of mine. And I was thinking about, I know Paul and I both love chocolate. It is something that we absolutely love, but we really shouldn't place too much of our love on it. And God has given it to something that we can enjoy. We can enjoy this, but we shouldn't start loving this pleasure, this thing that gives us pleasure. It just gives the flesh complete control over us. So that is the one thing that the old man loves, that the flesh loves, is pleasure, pleasing itself rather than pleasing others. Second thing that we see here, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. The old man loves to be built up, to have that pride built up in him. Matthew chapter 6. Now this is extremely evident in religious circles, surprisingly enough, that we can see pride creeping in. And this is how it is addressed here in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, I'm just going to read one verse, but it's mentioned in three verses, verse 2, verse 5, and verse 16. But I'm just going to read verse number 5. It says that, "And when thou prayest," this is of course Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, "thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." The hypocrites, the religious leaders of the day, they loved to pray on the street corners. They would stop on this prominent street corner and just start praying out loud to God. And maybe they would even do it silently, but assume a posture of prayer. And they wanted people to look at, man, look at that guy. Man, he must be really spiritual and be able to get in touch with God just in a busy marketplace. But God said they weren't doing that to please God. They weren't doing that to get closer to God. He says they love to do that they may be seen of men. And this public recognition is something that some people seek after. And you see it, again, you see it in a church, you see it in a job. I'm sure all of us that work out in the workplace have seen that. See somebody who, you know, if it's a small job that's not going to gain much recognition, you know, they don't really want to do it. But if it's something that's going to come before the bosses, come before the higher-ups, man, they're all over. They're going to jump on that job, and yep, I headed up that job. I made sure that got done. And we see that all throughout really our lives. But in the workplace, we see it in the churches as well. Somebody is not willing to clean the church, but man, they'll volunteer and make sure the pastor knows that they are ready to teach a Sunday school class. If you're not willing to clean the church, as Pastor Roach often said, you're not worthy to be anything more. If you're not willing to clean the church, you shouldn't be anything else, really. So this pride is something that the flesh loves. And sometimes this pride will take a cloak of humility on it. Act like it's humble. Yeah, I know, I did that. But, you know, I don't want to gather too much praise, you know. Yes, I did that, and it was done really well. But, you know, to God be the glory. And you hear people sometimes promoting their pride with trying to throw a slant of humility on it. And, again, you see that often. But pride is one of the biggest things that we can tell if the old man is ruling in our life. Is how much pride do we have in our life? Is pride ruling our life? Are our decisions being based on if we will look good or if we will look bad? Is pride ruling your life? This is one of the things that the flesh loves. And then third thing we see is money. 1 Timothy 6:10, of course, one of the more famous verses in the Bible. Let's turn over there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse number 10. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money has been around for thousands of years, and it is extremely prevalent in our country today. People seeking after money. They're seeking after, well, can I do a side job that will get me extra money so that I can do basically whatever I want. And they're seeking after money. And again, money itself is not bad. The Bible says that the love of money is. And if your life is all about gaining that money, that's indicative of the old man, the flesh, ruling in your life. The Bible says that it's the love of money is the root of all evil. And remember, love will always produce action. It will always generate action toward the object of our love. You love your wife, you're going to do things for her. You love your children, you're going to do things for them. You love God, you're going to give Him His due. If you love money, you're going to make your life all about money. If you love pleasure, again, that's going to be the focus of your life. You're going to act in a manner that will be towards the object of your love. And God says that those who will love money will pierce themselves through with many sorrows. These sorrows will not be the working of Satan. These sorrows are not something that Satan, an attack that Satan threw at them. These are something where basically someone who has this love for money, they walk over to Satan, they take the darts out of his quiver, and they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. This is something that is dragging Christians down today because their focus is off of God and it's on the material goods. And all they're doing is just saying, Satan, you don't need to exert your energy throwing that dart at me. Here, give me the dart. I'm going to stab myself with your dart. They're piercing themselves through with many sorrows with this love of money. Love of money is the root of all evil. You see, we see many people following after money. The Bible says that in the previous verse, he that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. This love of money will drown men. It'll be like, it'll overwhelm them so they can't even, their life is gone from them because all their focus is on this money. What does the old man love? He loves pleasure, pride, and money. Now let's look at what does he hate. Again, another thing of whether you can determine how we can tell if the old man is alive in us. What do we hate? What does the old man hate? Some people's characters are defined by their hatred. Their hatred for a certain thing. I had a coworker in when I worked at the last USA. He was from Fiji. He was a native. I don't know if he was a native Fiji, but he had lived in Fiji, and he hated the English. Because the English, during their time of their empire, they had taken over Fiji, and for whatever, I don't know exactly the whole story behind it, but he hated the English. It was a running joke in the workplace there. We would always be teasing him about something being British or English. And it was almost defined by his hatred for the English. Some people's characters are defined by what they hate, and the old man would fall into that category. And again, it'll be easy to tell if your old man is dead by examining what you yourself hate. Because what you hate will be indicative of whether the old man is living or whether he is dead. So the first thing we see that the old man hates is God's law. Romans chapter 8. The flesh and God's law are in contradiction to each other. They're direct opposites. As we'll see here, Romans chapter 8, verse number 7. Actually, let's read verse number 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, and the Bible says it can't be. It will not let itself be subject under the law of God. That's why the carnal mind, the carnal man, the flesh, has to die, because it cannot be subject to the law of God. It has to be crucified, because it cannot follow the law of God. They're in direct contradiction to each other. Their carnal mind is enmity against God. They're enemies. They are mortal enemies. And they cannot work together. They will always be in contradiction to each other. So how does that play out in our life? When somebody brings out the Bible, brings out the Word of God, do you start shunning away? You're like, it's time to go somewhere else. When the preacher is getting up and preaching God's law, the law of God, from the Word of God, is it kind of like your enmity? You know, like, I don't really like hearing that at all. What do you hate? Flesh hates hearing of the law of God. And if you sit in church, and what the preacher is preaching as he's preaching the Word of God, and you're like, I don't like that, you know, I hate it when he starts preaching about something like that. I hate it when he starts preaching on that subject. Be careful. Pretty good indication that the flesh is ruling in your life, that your old man is still alive and well. He is not on that cross. He is ruling your life. And you can tell by what you hate, whether you have enmity with the law of God. Do you seek to avoid God's law, or do you embrace it? Because really, that's the two options. Your flesh is either going to be in control and seek to avoid the law of God, or the spirit, the new man, will be in control, and it will love the law of God and embrace it. All right, second thing we see about what does the old man hate is he hates rebuke. He hates rebuke. Amos, the book of Amos, chapter 5. They're in the Minor Prophets. It's right after Joel. Amos, chapter 5. This chapter is dealing with God pleading with the nation of Israel to come back to him, and he's giving them some rebuke. He's giving, a pleading for repentance. In verse number 10, talking about the people who God is saying to come, please, you know, come back to me, and they're in sin against him, it says, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Man, the flesh hates to be rebuked. We hate to have somebody come up and tell us, you're wrong. You need to change your ways. Oh man, that just gets under our skin. We hate being rebuked. We hate being corrected. But you know what? If we have that mindset of, man, I'm not going to take that rebuke. Who is he to tell me what to do? The old flesh is in control of your life. Proverbs. The book of Proverbs has many things to say about how we receive instruction, how we receive rebuke, and how we handle instruction and rebuke will determine on whether we are a fool or whether we are a wise man. The Bible says that 100 stripes, you can do 100 stripes into a fool, and he's not going to change his ways. But he says the wise man will hear rebuke, and he'll listen to it. We hate rebuke. I mean, again, it's not something our flesh likes to take at all, this rebuke, this correction. But we need to remember, man, when we get some rebuke in our life and we start bowing up, that's a sign of the flesh. That's a sign that the flesh has too much control in your life. So what does the old man hate? He hates God's law, and he hates rebuke. And again, there's many, many things we can go through about the flesh and what he loves, what he hates. But we'll go ahead and jump into envy. Envy. The Bible has much to say about envy. Of the 28 times it is used in the Bible, it's never mentioned in a positive light. Envy is always mentioned as a work of the flesh. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, of course, a chapter of listing how man will digress and how he'll become worse and worse in his sin. And of course, Pastor preached a great message on it here several weeks ago. But Romans chapter 1, latter portion of the chapter, I'm just going to read the one verse, verse number 29. But when it's listing the sins of a reprobate mind, and what these people who have a reprobate mind do, envy is in there. Verse number 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. We don't like to put envy on this level. But God looks at envy in a very, very negative light. What could possibly come from just a little envy? Man, I wish I had that. Why does he have that and I don't have that? I wish I had that. What could possibly come from just a little envy? Well, number one, it doesn't say just a little envy. The Bible says that here these people were full of envy. And I'm going to list some examples where the Bible specifically states envy came into the picture. Rachel envied Leah, so she gave her handmaid to Jacob to have children by her handmaid. Led to some sin there of the adultery. Joseph's brothers envied him and sold him into slavery. They're actually going to kill their own brother because of the envy they had for him. The chief rulers envied Christ and delivered him up to be crucified. The Bible specifically states that Pilate knew that the Jews were doing what they were doing because of envy. He knew for envy they had delivered him up. Envy caused the death of our Savior. Because of envy, they said, we don't want this man around anymore. Let's crucify him. Envy goes a long way. The Jews envied Paul and sought to have him arrested. He was able to escape out of their hands. But they raised an uproar through the entire city. And of course, that's when they found Jason and some of the other Christians that were with him. And they brought him before the city council. And they said, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. They created this uproar because of envy. What will envy lead to? Just in the Bible, we see plotting for murder for Joseph, and then eventually selling him into slavery, and of course, the unfair trial and murder of our own Jesus Christ. It's what envy will lead to. It's a powerful, powerful sin. And envy has many fruits that will come from its root. You want to, when you find out you got some envy in your life, when you're starting to envy somebody, man, envy unchecked will always lead to wrong action. When you start sensing, man, I may be having some envy here in my life, you need to get it taken care of quickly before it gets out of hand. So is the old man dead in your life? Or is he alive and well and in control of your life? You can tell by what you love, what you hate, and if you got the envy that is controlling you in your life. And again, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your old flesh has no competition for control of your life. He has complete control over your life. You really have no option but to follow your flesh. But if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, man, the gift is waiting for you. He has already paid the penalty for your sin. And He is waiting to save you from your sins and to give you a new creature so that you can live a life that is pleasing to Him. If there's any in here that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that tonight you will do that, so that you will no longer have this old man ruling in your life, but you can have be a new creature in Christ. And of course, that's not even mentioning the eternal consequences of if you die in your sins with never accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will spend an eternity in a lake of fire, and that is no fable at all. It is a very, very real place. I pray that one in here has never been saved, that they do that. And Christian, is your old man alive and well in your life? Or is he crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin? You will always serve sin if that old man is alive. Always. All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes.